Well, I believe that this story of Easter is one of journey, and we have journeyed with Jesus through Maundy Thursday, the Last Supper, betrayal and denial, into the pain and sorrow of Good Friday, and then today into the light and joy of Easter. And I feel there are so many parallels of moving from darkness to light in the journey that we've been on in the last year. It feels like over the last year, we have been through a grief process as a world, a country, a community, and as individuals. If we think back to this time last year, last Easter, we were all in a bit of a state of shock, of numbness. Honestly, we really didn't know what was ahead of us. We were rapidly adjusting to new ways of being, getting ourselves up to speed with our tech, getting used to all the rules about when we were allowed to leave the house and what reasons for. And it was a huge adjustment to go from being freely being able to do whatever we wanted to do, traveling to work, going on holidays, seeing our friends and family, to suddenly having so many constraints. A bit like this image of walking down steps into a dark cellar. And there have been many losses, losses of seeing family and friends, loss of people who have sadly died, loss of freedom, loss of the ability to choose. And I think we have all at different times experienced anger, which is part of that grief cycle. For example, at Christmas, having that Christmas kind of whipped away from us at the last minute, and then adjusting to a new normal of maybe sadness with gaps in our lives. But now we are looking forward with joy to the lifting of restrictions. There's a light on the horizon. Children are back in school, and we can now meet up with six friends or family in our garden. Maybe, like me, you've even booked a holiday for later in the year. There are signs of hope that we are going in a new direction. And eventually the sun will come out, and the sunflowers will start to grow, and we will be stepping into a new normal. Things won't be the same. We can't reclaim the times that we've missed with our family and friends, but we can have new times with them. We will be able to return to our church building and to all the groups and activities at some point, but things will look different. And we will want to make choices about which things stay the same and which things we do differently. When I read this passage, verse 17 really jumped out at me. Don't hold on to me. I think for many of us, one of the hardest things through this last year has been that lack of control with the ever-changing rules. No sooner have we put plans in place and got used to them than everything changed again. And we are most secure when everything stays the same. All the things that we're familiar with, we can carry on doing those. It takes effort to adjust, and it's tiring. And I think there is a great sense of tiredness for most of us. And we are really fed up with having to keep going with all these restrictions. We just want them to be over. But even when they are over, I think we need to make some choices about what we hold on to and what we let go of. One thing that I have learned through the years as I've journeyed with God is that nothing is wasted. He can bring positives out of even the most difficult situations. So even in the midst of pain and sadness and loss over the last year, there have been some real gains. Many people have grown deeper in faith through prayer and Bible study. I feel like we've really grown closer as a community, chatting on Sundays over our Zoom coffee and sharing with each other's lives more over our thank yous each week. More people have got involved in reading and praying in our services, and I feel like we've really walked this path of COVID and of lockdown together as a community. And it's been wonderful to have other people joining us as we've gone along on that path. It's been a real blessing. So as we reflect on the Easter day that was experienced by Mary Magdalene, that Kirsten read to us about, She went through all the range of emotions that we have done over the past year. She was part of a great community, hanging out with the disciples and Jesus, traveling with them, being part of all the things they were doing. She saw miracles and heard amazing teaching and had that time with Jesus. And then came the events of Easter week, the Last Supper, the arrest, trial, and crucifixion of Jesus. Her world was blown apart. Everything she valued seemed to have disappeared. And I think she would have identified with these steps down into a dark cellar. Jesus, who held everything together, was no longer there. She had to watch this teacher and leader who she looked up to, admired, respected, the man who had shown her such mercy and compassion, go through a terrible death. The disciples were all in disarray. Everyone was in shock, trying to come to terms with what had happened and trying to understand why it had happened. So we see her in this passage wrestling with all of this. When she arrives at the tomb, she is first of all very confused to see the stone has been rolled away. Different gospel accounts vary exactly about what she saw at that point. But she clearly realized that Jesus was no longer in the tomb, and she ran to tell Peter and John, who rushed to the tomb to verify this for themselves. And they too found it really hard to make sense of what had happened. But then it says in verse 8, finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first went inside. He saw and believed. And when that disciple, who we think was John, the writer of this gospel, went in, he saw and believed. All the things that he had heard Jesus say clicked into place and he believed. But Mary was still in too much pain and too much confusion to make that connection. She was just overwhelmed by her loss. And she stands by the tomb crying. And even when she sees the angels, she doesn't make that connection. In her mind, she's convinced that someone has stolen the body. So when she sees Jesus, she can't connect with him. It's not until he says her name that she realizes who it is. And then, of course, she just wants to hold on to him and not let him go. But he has moved into a different place. He's now in his resurrection body, with just a short while back on earth to equip and inspire his disciples before he ascends into heaven. She can't take him back to how things were before, because they've changed. But there is now that realization of hope that Jesus is alive. She doesn't fully understand what's happened. She's still in too great a place of shock. But in the days ahead, we know that Jesus appeared to his disciple at different times, and with each meeting came deeper understanding of what had happened. And we know that before he ascended back into heaven, he gave them the Great Commission. He pointed them towards their task and our task to teach others across the world about Jesus, to show his love and compassion to all. Easter is a time of looking forward to new things, of rejoicing again in the new life we have in Jesus, and potential for him to be working in us and through us into the lives of our friends and family and our community. And this Easter, more than most, has that sense of standing on the brink of new things for us to come, both for us as individuals and as a church community here at St. James. So let's just take a moment now to thank God for Easter, for Jesus' resurrection from the dead, and the new life that he brought for each one of us. That ability to have a full and free relationship with God, our loving Heavenly Father, for all time. And let's thank him for the ways that we've seen him at work, even through the dark times, as we stand on this Easter day, looking forward to the lifting of restrictions in weeks to come. Let's pray for his guidance every step of the way. Let's just have a moment of quiet now. Father God, we thank you for the way you journey with us in the dark times and in the times of joy. As we celebrate Easter today, Lord, we thank you that you are walking with us. We thank you that you never leave us. And we pray, Lord, that you will guide and direct us on all the steps you have for us in the days ahead, both as individuals and as a church. Amen. So we are now going to sing a worship song which celebrates Jesus rising from the dead and everything that he did at Easter. And it's called Oh Happy Day.
Greatest day in history.